We're continuing on as far as being steadfast till the end. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. And I pray right now that the Holy Spirit have its will and its way, Lord, in the hearts of men and women here today, that they be changed forevermore. Father, use me as a vessel of honor. Flow through me. Use my lips to speak your words, not my own. Block out the distractions that weigh me focused on you, Lord. Direct connection to you into that throne room right now in Jesus' holy name. Amen. The opening scripture, again, as we go through this series, is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 56 through 58, which says, "The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Amen. We've been journeying on this topic for over a month now. And I question right now to you, and you don't answer this aloud, but have you been receiving it? Are you that immovable object? Are you seeking the Lord to become steadfast? If you're not steadfast, are you asking him, "Lord, create in me a new heart. Help me to be an immovable object, standing firm in my faith." If you're not seeking it, then I question why. If you already are steadfast, praise the Lord. But are you being changed? Are you receiving it? And as I was sitting there and we were praying, and we're going to get into the topic, but I want you to turn over to Matthew 13. I said it this morning, and I just want to go through with it right now. I want to pick it up in verse 3. And he spoke many things unto them in parables, saying, "Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into the good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." And he's talking about the ears, and he's actually really talking about the heart. Everything he went through, and he's going to explain this further on. "And the disciples came and said to him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not from him shall be taken away, even that he hath." It says it'll be taken away. Are you taking the word of God and not doing anything with it? Are you lukewarm? He says, "I will spit you out of my mouth." That's what he says in Revelation. Brother Rich and I talked. You can walk away from your first love. You can. "Therefore I speak to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand." This morning I was in communication with Pastor Don over at the church, and we were exchanging text messages back and forth. But we were praying about, he said, that none other than Christ, that my whole focus is on Christ and him crucified. And then I turned over to 2 Kings 6:17, which is when Elijah prayed that his servant would have eyes to see. And the Lord revealed eyes to see. And I've been praying for this church every day and every night. My wife and I are being steadfast to pray for this church, that the Holy Spirit move upon you, that you surrender, that the Holy Spirit can work through you. Some of you are doing that, and some of you are resisting. I promise you, yield. It'll change you. You will have power to do His will. And it is it's dunamis, as Brother Ed had talked about in our last men's study. And verse 15, it says, "For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted. I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them." And I think about even in the hospital room with Dad, I remember seeing some things that changed my life forevermore. I've seen too much to turn around and go back. That I remain steadfast and I press towards that mark. And I want to go back into the sower here because it's important for you to understand. Maybe you're not understanding where we're going this, but it says, "Hear you therefore the parable of the sower." And he goes and explains it. He says, "When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one." That's Satan, the father of all lies. He deceives. Deception. We are going to go, this steadfast is leading into a series on war. This is war, and it's talking about spiritual warfare. So that's where we're going in this journey. Because now is the time. "Then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in the heart. This is which seed received by the wayside." So he gives it, he says the seed was cast by the wayside. And so the deceiver, he takes it away. "But he that received the seed in a stony place is the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receive it. Yet hath he no root in self, but dureth for a while. But when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended." And I want to give you the visual. Have you guys ever seen, like, on rocks where a seed might have cast, and all of a sudden, like, a plant or something starts to spring up? But it has no root. So it has this perception of being alive, but there's no root in it. So when it says when tribulation comes, so when storms of this world, when the wind comes or whatever, it's blown away. How easy is it to pick up that weed even, like on your driveway? How many have driveways and there's a weed that pops up? It's very easy to pull right out because it doesn't have any root. Now take that and preserve it into your own life. Think about it. Am I receiving this word, and is it taking root in me, or am I just a little bud on the outside but with no root, that when the cares of this world come in, it's gone? When the cares of this world come in, do you open this book? Do you go back to the scriptures to speak life into you, or do you crumble? That's being steadfast is not that. Being steadfast is our foundation is in Christ and His Word. This is the manuscript. So when tribulation and persecution, we've talked about persecution. When persecution comes your way, it will surely happen for those in Christ. If you are standing for Him, you have this. You have the words that Jesus spoke to speak into you. "And he that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfuls of righteousness choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful." The cares of this world, the desire to consume things, to have things, it snatches it away. Being in the business world, I see that all the time. It's what drives people. And we put so much focus on things of this world. And that's why it says it's so hard for a rich man to enter in the kingdom of God. When God spoke to that one man, he said, "Go and sell you your things." And he couldn't do it. He couldn't do it. But then there's another person, it's Nicodemus, I believe, the other Nicodemus, where he climbs up on the tree and he just seeks to God. And he gives up giving half of everything he had back to the kingdom. And Jesus said, today salvation is upon you. And the last part, but he that receives seed in the good ground is he that heareth the word and understand it, which also bears fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. That's what I pray is happening right now. You have a heart that is fertile to receive what you've been hearing. A new heart. New eyes to see. That you can be doers of the word, not just hearers. Where we left off last week, we talked about we gave examples of those who suffered yet were still steadfast. We had the example of Peter and John, and how cool was that? Where they rejoiced. And where we picked up was holding fast to that which is good. So being steadfast, and how do you do that? You hold fast to what is good. And we started, and we're going to start over again in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 24. And as you read along with me, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. See, we in Christ will not be deceived when that time comes. I think about in Noah, and I was talking to someone who had they're having their first birthday. This was on Friday, and they're saying their son was turning one, and they're going to have it's Noah themed. And I thought it was interesting. You're going to celebrate the 1 year birthday with a flood that killed everybody. But that, I really believe it took over 100 years to build that ark. And people just carelessly live their life, thinking like, it's never going to end. This is just one big party. It's just great. We're going to continue on. And warning after warning, and seeing it, and thinking he's cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. He just doesn't get it. This Noah guy is crazy. He's crazy. But what happened, I got to believe that fear trembled. All of a sudden, that rain started to come down. And those people, and that door was shut. And those people had to be thinking, oh my gosh, what did we just do? We missed it. We had opportunity after opportunity. Opportunity after opportunity. And we rejected it. Rejected it. There are people that you come in contact with, loved ones that you are praying for, that they may know Christ, that the way you know Christ. And they reject it. And when that time comes, we sing that song. When that trumpet sounds, that's it. That's it. You stand before the Lord. But you, brethren, are not in the darkness that that day should overtake you as a thief. See, we can't be deceived. We are in Christ. We know the signs and times in which we live. We know the things, the promises of God, and we know what to watch for, to be steadfast. You are children of the light and children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Sleeping, and here he's talking about, he's saying, don't be lazy. Don't sleep and slumber. You need to be laborers in Christ. You need to continue on. Brother Ed sent an email out earlier this week. He came in contact with someone, and he just said, you know, this person needs Christ. They need prayer. Can you help? And he reached out to other people, can you help in this situation? For they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken and are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love for a helmet and the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Hallelujah. Amen. Wherefore, comfort and strengthen yourselves together. Edify one another, even as also you do. That's what I was just talking about this morning with the women's study. It says, comfort yourselves together. That's the purpose of the body, You support one another. You edify one another. You keep each other in check. Continue on. Don't be weary. When suffering comes your way, hey, you should be stoked right now, for great is your reward in heaven. I'm here with you, brother. I'm here with you, sister. It's okay. It's okay. Be steadfast. Be immovable. God's promises are here for you. Doesn't mean that, you know, you accept Christ and life is rosy and everything is great. Suffering does come. Persecution will come. But that's the purpose of the body. Some of us are in different seasons. I was hearing about someone talking about the seasons of life. Different seasons of life. Some of us are in a season of joy and happiness and prosperity, and others are not. If we're a body, we see a need. We want to take care of the need. When someone's mourning, you want to take care of that need. When someone needs prayer, sickness. Some of us are blessed with health. The purpose of the body is to edify and strengthen. You strengthen. What, when you go to the gym, Steve, what do? You lift to be stronger, right? You don't just go to the gym and then look at the weights and go, oh, I'm going to get strong. It takes action. You actually have to do something, right? We have to pull together, okay? Otherwise, Satan wants to come in and create a wedge, and he just wants to divide. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. I mean, I need your prayers too. Every week I come in, I work a full-time job, and I work to deliver the word for you and prayer and everything. I need your prayers too. It's not one way. I need your support. I need your help. I need your encouragement. I get weary, and this is all new to me. I'm on a new journey.
You don't find.
Thanks, Brother Tony. And be at peace among yourselves. See, when I love that, be at peace among yourselves. See, when you have Christ in you, there's that peace. We talked about, remember the storm where he said, peace, be still. He said, peace. He's talking to the disciples, peace, and then the storm, be still. You have a peace that passes understanding that others don't comprehend. Like, well, I don't get it. You know, I don't understand. You lost your loved one. Like, you should just give up, roll up and die. No. I'll remain steadfast in him because I have his perfect love in me. And he'll fill that void, right, Mom? Like we talked about, he'll fill that void. And he'll give me new purpose and new accomplishment through him. Until I breathe my last breath. That I remain steadfast, an immovable object. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. That's a tough one, huh? Can you pray without ceasing? When you have empty time, like I say, where maybe you're vegging out, are you replacing that? You can replace that time with prayer. We're talking about, like, even in the middle of your work, and you're all of a sudden, you just take a break, you know, Does your mind go to God? Does your mind go to prayer? Thank you, Jesus. Or praying for someone else. Use those opportunities. Start thinking about how my life can change in Christ. You can be changed. You have to look for that opportunity, though. You don't just change just because you say, I want to change. It takes action, right? Just like we talked about at the gym. So you have to look for those opportunities. Maybe when you're driving to work, you listen to sports radio. Try turn off the sports radio for 5 minutes. Five minutes. Start there. Start with prayer. Start your day with prayer. End your prayer. End your night with prayer. With your loved ones. Start your day with prayer. That's armor. Remember in Peter we talked about arm yourself with this way of thinking. And the goal in there was prayer while suffering. When the fiery trials come. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. I love this. For this is the will of God, Christ Jesus, concerning you. And I talked about with my wife constantly with this, and we just talk about, like, do you have a spirit of thanksgiving for what Christ has given you? Be thankful for what you have. Be thankful for what you have. In everything, give thanks. Even when things don't go your way, it's the will of the Father. That's where God's sovereignty comes into play. You have to have trust and faith in that. If it doesn't make sense, it's okay. You won't understand it. When you get to heaven, maybe then you'll get some clarity. Oh, that's how it all worked together. Like, our minds don't comprehend that. Our minds don't even comprehend in the beginning was God, right? We look at a beginning and an end, but before the beginning was God. How does that make sense? Because we're human. We don't understand that. We give thanks in everything. This is the will of God. Quench not the Spirit. I've been talking about the Holy Spirit with each and every one of you. The Holy Spirit wants to move. Quench not the Spirit. He's tugging at your heart. Maybe say, hey, while you're praying, give me praise and worship. Maybe I need to lift my hands. You know, what is he saying? There's times when we are given people in our life where we have the opportunity to share the gospel and you quench the Spirit because you don't want to ruffle feathers and you don't want to share with, maybe there's a piece of you that wants to share it, but you're like, I might offend this person. It's just not right. I got to wait for that right opportunity and say no. You have to be instant in season and out of season. You have to be ready. It says to be ready to share that gospel. You have to look for that opportunity. Don't quench the Spirit. Be a vessel of honor. Despise not prophesyings. I love this. Prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. Prove all things. How do you prove all things? Study to show yourself approved. How many of you took me up on that, reading at least a scripture a day or a chapter a day? Are you in this? Are you looking for opportunity to learn and grow? If you're not, take it up. Try it out. Do it for 30 days. It might just change your life. You might just get addicted to this. You might just get addicted to it, which is a pretty good addiction to have. Abstain from all appearance of evil. That is important. We in Christ, because others are watching. You are to be an example to others. I'm not saying you're perfect. We all have sin that we deal with, and we need to take that before the Lord. But you need to be having the mindset of, am I even given the appearance of evil that you would cause another person to stumble? Someone could be so close to committing their life to Christ, but if I have the appearance of evil, that person might stumble. It might set them back because of me. Now I have that blood on my hands. Think about that. Think about that. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also do it. Hold tight to Jesus. And actually in Hebrews, we have that high priest in Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, it says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Hold fast, right? We're talking about being steadfast. Hold fast our profession. So he's the King of Kings. He is God. He is going to return. That trumpet's going to sound. Oh, may I then in him be found, that I remain steadfast in him. He is the foundation, right? He said, you can be the person who builds the house on sand, or you could be the person who builds the house on the rock. That's a choice you make. When you build a house, you make a choice. Do I want a basement? Do I not want a basement? Do I want a two-story, one-story? You also pick location. You, as a body, need to make that choice. Do I want to build my foundation on sand, which is a human approach of here's the things, this is what the way I want to live, or do I live a life surrendered and build upon Christ, the rock? It's a choice. Every day you make choices in your life. Are you honoring God? For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. See, that's the cool thing about the gospel. That's the cool thing about Christianity is our God is acquainted. He lived as man. He knows what it feels like. He knows what it's like to be tempted of the things that we deal with. Each of us have our own weaknesses where Satan looks to use little strongholds that you have to break down. But Christ experienced all of those. He knows what it's like. He knows what it's like to lose a loved one. He knows the temptation of lust. He knows the temptation to acquire things. Remember in the wilderness, he was promised all the kingdoms. If you just bow down before me and worship me, is what Satan said. But he said no. He made a choice. He made a choice. Let us therefore, and as why are we saying that last song, boldly I approach the throne, is the next couple of scriptures talk about that. It says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Find grace to help in time of need. How many times have you heard pastors say, grace is God's empowering presence for us to do and be what we cannot do and be on our own? So in our time of need, we can find that grace. We have an access point there for us to do and be. We have the ability to do and be. Some of you say, I'm not comfortable in speaking or talking about things. That just is not my style yet, or I don't understand it. God's grace is sufficient for you. God can give you the strength. Moses was a stutterer, yet he was picked and chose to lead Israel free, to set the captives free. Man would look at it and say, I'm not going to pick somebody with a stutter. He's going to go stand before Pharaoh and tell him to set my people free? Really? That man's choice would be something different, right? Israel's thoughts were, like, Judas wanted a conquering king. They wanted a warrior, yet instead they have this Lamb of God who conquered the grave. But not with like sword and spear and defeating things. He conquered through the word of God, through prophecy that was here. So the Holy Spirit gives us access to go to that throne room. So in time, we can get God's empowering presence. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 14 through 23, it says, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. One offering. That was the one offering. It's the final offering. Right? Prior to Christ, there was constant offerings, sacrifices to cover the sin. One final offering was made. The Lamb of God came and he was crucified for us. He was crushed for us. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. I will put my laws into their hearts. Does the Holy Spirit tug you? Maybe I shouldn't be doing that. Maybe I need to do this. See, when we yield and we're surrendered, it hurts a little. It hurts. Sin's fun. It is. It's fun. Great is your reward when you make that choice, the right choice in him. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. His blood gave us the ability to access the holiest of holies by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Faith, standing firm. Amen. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith. What are we talking about? Being steadfast. See, when you read these scriptures, you now understand. You understand, you've heard the gospel story. You've heard the gospel story. There are other people that don't understand it. They don't understand the concept. Why did Christ even die on a cross? Why? You have to know the gospel in order to share it. You have to understand it. Do you understand it? If you don't, come to us. Come to fellow brothers and sisters who do, that can help equip you. It's called discipleship, to raise one another up. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith. Be steadfast. Do not waver like reeds in the wind. Turn over to Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. There's so many examples of being steadfast in this book. There's no way I could cover them all. Otherwise, we'd be teaching on it in a year. But Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." See, standing fast, therefore. See, Christ conquered the grave. He conquered your sin when you accept him, so you could stand, therefore, in the liberty, having faith. You're no longer tied by the yoke of bondage, right? We're no longer slaves. Again, we're going back to this example. We're no longer slaves to sin. We're a slave to righteousness, right? In Peter, we learned about the dog that returns to the vomit, the pig that returns back to the mud. It's a choice. You have that sin nature, but you were washed by the blood. You were baptized into Christ in his death. And you were raised up, a new being. Amen. A new being. That you can be a slave to righteousness. See, God's righteousness is the law in your heart. You now desire, I don't want to go to the mud. I live that life. Remember, the time had passed. That had already sufficed. I don't want to go there. I'm going to stand firm, therefore, in the liberty that Christ has set me free. I don't want to go back to the mud. The mud was the sin. I don't want to be the pig that got washed and go back to the mud. Think about that. Get that burned into your mind. It's a perfect visual. It's a perfect visual. Those are choices that we make. Okay, we're steadfast now in Christ, and does that mean we stand still, or do we press towards the goal, the high water mark? And that's in Philippians 3, verses 13 through 14. It says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind," my old life, right? Forgetting those things which are behind, "and reaching forth unto the things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Who was writing this? This was Paul, right? And I have to believe, and this is just, there's no foundation on it, but they talk about the thorn, right? The thorn in his side. Think about what Paul's prior life was. He persecuted the church. Maybe that thorn was just ever before him, where Satan would just kind of toss it in front of his mind of the people he persecuted, that he threw in prison. Yet now he's proclaiming the love of God in Christ. Constantly, Satan tries to deceive and throw those lies in front of you. Yet he's saying, no, I forget those things that are behind, and I press forward to Christ. To Christ. That's a choice. I'm forgetting those things that are behind. I'm a new creation. That's where you repent and you're changed. Now you're making the choice to walk forward, not backwards. You don't go back. Keep your focus on him. He accomplished it all. You move out on your own, you become a target. You can't make it on your own, saints. You must yield to the Holy Spirit, and you have to take him with you everywhere you go. I think at this point we're going to finish for today. We'll probably be wrapping up being steadfast next Sunday. Are you guys learning? Are you learning? Are you receiving it in your heart? Right? We just went through that Matthew 13. You know, for some of you, maybe you need to read it over and over again. You know, get it burning in your mind. There's some awesome stuff in there. The parable, it talks about the, and I was going to talk about this in the men's study, but it talks about the man who found the pearl. He found this awesome pearl.
Hallelujah.
And I was telling that with Katie, he found this pearl, and he went and he sold everything to get this pearl. And that's Christ. You've now found this awesome treasure. Let's just turn there, just as we close it out. So Matthew 13. And it's in verse 44, picking up. It says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hidden in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for the joy thereof goeth and sells all that he has and buys that field. How cool is that? He found this awesome thing. And that's all that was important to him. It was just his entire focus. I got to get that. Right? And then picking up again, who then he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. That's being steadfast. You found this treasure in Christ. You found a treasure in Christ. You've given up everything now for pursuit of him. He's paid the price. You accepted it. Now it's not I that live, but it's Christ that lives in me. Yes. Amen?
Amen?
Amen? Yeah, okay. All right. You guys are looking at me like deer in headlights. Let's bow our head. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, for today. I thank you for your word. I pray, Lord, that it accomplishes its purpose and its goal as we continue to be steadfast in you, Lord, till the end, till that trumpet sounds, Lord. I pray, Lord Jesus, that we get to finish next Sunday, Lord, that you accomplish your purpose and your goal, Lord. But as we go out these doors today, that we don't just say that was a great sermon, Lord, but just say, like, I want you and all of you, and I want to walk with you. I want to seek you, Lord, in everything that I do, whether it's my job, whether it's, you know, going to dinner with loved ones, whether I'm traveling, Lord, let our conversation be of the gospel of you and the changes that you're making in our life. Be with us as we go our separate ways, Lord. Help us to pray for one another, to edify one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed.